Hello. Greetings to every one of you and welcome to today's lesson. Today in this lesson, we are going to be discussing the topic corruption. So let's get started with today's video. In discussing this topic, corruption, we are going to start with what is corruption. That's the first item on our outline. And after looking at what corruption is, we are going to discuss the causes of corruption. We are going to propose solutions to the problem of corruption. We are going to discuss the instrument for fighting against corruption. Under that, we are going to have one national instrument and two international instruments for the fight against corruption. After that, we are going to have look at a way forward towards a life without corruption, especially in Cameroon. As a result, we are going to give some recommendations. Then I'm going to provide you with past questions and answers on the topic corruption. So at the end of this lesson of today, you're going to have past questions on the topic corruption, and you're required to do it, then you're going to have the correction. So the question now is, what is corruption? We are going to be saying that corruption may be defined as the act. Not me. Corruption is the act of giving money or anything else in exchange for a service. In Cameroon, for example, corruption is being expressed in many ways. Some people give money in exchange for a particular service. That is corruption. Some people give money in order to be satisfied before others. That is still corruption. In the administration, some people will come late, but they will want to be satisfied before those who came early. And they, as a result, they will go in and give money, and they will be satisfied before those who came earlier than they came. That is corruption. In addition, let us look at the domain of competitive entrance examination. If there is a say that some people buy places with money. If that is true, we call it corruption. Because if people buy places with money, then those who merit the place are not those who are being given the place. But finally, the truth is, anyone who studies well always finds a way to pass. Now, it is important to note that some civil servants, especially policemen, they take money illegally from road users. And sometimes they don't even do the work that is expected for them to do. The fact of taking money from road users is already a form of being a corrupt person. Now, ladies and gentlemen, another dimension of corruption is embezzlement. Embezzlement is the extortion of huge amount of money from the public funds or from the state money. And this money, you know very well, could be used to do a lot of things in the country. This money was meant for public benefit, but you embezzle the money into your private pocket. That is embezzlement, and it is another dimension of corruption as classified by the penal code. Furthermore, corruption increases the ditch between the poor and the rich. For the rich people always use money to acquire the best jobs, to acquire the best services, to acquire everything. But the poor have no other chance. They have no other choice than to just stay. Imagine yourself in front of an office, standing for more than 3 hours. Then suddenly, out of a sudden, someone comes. Someone just drives in, come and pass all of you on the line, goes in and is satisfied. Then the person comes and drives away and you are still there. You see, it provides a very great ditch, a very great gap between the rich and the poor if the personnel in that office were corrupt. And now a phenomenon of embezzlement of public funds, I would like to mention that it is really a virus to the country. It is a virus to our economy. Embezzlement of public funds, such a phenomenon is very dangerous for the entire community. This is to the effect that the money that a particular person embezzles into his private pocket is money that could recruit youths, is money that could pay a salary of civil servants, is money that could fix roads, is money that could provide health facilities, is money that could do a lot of things in the life of the state, being embezzled or extorted into private pockets. Now let's look at the causes of corruption. So what are the causes of corruption? We're going to discuss, among other things, low salary. Some people go into corruption. You see them venture into corruption simply because their salaries are very little. Sometimes even civil servants, or most of the times, even civil servants, some civil servants are being corrupt like this simply because their salary is very low. And they will not allow them to solve their problems, will not allow them to manage their day-to-day activities. As a result, they find themselves getting corrupt. So it's just so as to maybe make the ends meet, just to get maybe more money than their salary promises them. And so on. So low salary level is a major cause of corruption. Another cause of corruption is unemployment. Some people will venture into corruption simply because of the lack of job opportunities in the country. Illiteracy is another phenomenon. Excuse me. Illiteracy is another phenomenon of corruption. And it is accentuated because most of our people are illiterate. So we have corruption sometimes being rampant simply because some of our people, those who venture into corruption, some of them, not all, some of them are ignorant of the effect that corruption has on the country, the effect that corruption has on their own life, the corruption that the influence, the effect that that corruption has on the life of the youths of or the future of the state. Now we'll also discuss low ethical and moral conscience. Some people venture into corruption simply because of their low ethical and moral conscience. That is, they don't have conscience. That's how we'll just say it. Some people will venture into corruption simply because they don't really care about whatever. They don't care on the effect of corruption on the becoming nation. They don't really care. Like, the conscience is not there. Lacks legislation. When there are no laws, or the laws that are being promulgated against corruption, when those laws are insufficient or those laws are not strict, there is bound to be corruption. So that's why we talk of lax legislation or procedural administration. When procedural administration is not effective, there is bound to be what? To be corruption. Then now we'll talk about impunity and immunity of some people. Some people are not sanctioned for crimes they commit even when they are caught. They are not actually being sanctioned. For example, imagine someone is being caught for corruption, and the person who is supposed to punish that particular personnel for being corrupt is also corrupt, and so will receive money from the corrupt personnel. As a result, corruption will just keep on lining its way. Well, we'll talk of impunity here. Impunity is the inability to punish. That's what we call impunity. And immunity here, like, you cannot be punished. You cannot commit a crime. So some people are immune. Well, for example, we have presidential immunity, we have parliamentary immunity. During the term of their services, they are considered void of they are considered void of crime. They cannot commit crimes. So in addition, there are so many advantages for certain posts in the administration. As a result, if we say someone has impunity or immunity when it comes to corruption, then we are simply encouraging that person to continue being corrupt. But now, how do we see it that some people are being punished severely for being corrupt, why some other people are walking freely with embezzled money in their pockets? It's a cause of concern simply because of this impunity and immunity. Just looking that this person is a this. So let's just leave it like that. When it comes to corruption, it is not longer good. It is like encouraging the person to continue being corrupt. We are still on the causes of corruption. And now we're going to be talking about cupidity and excess greed in some people. When I talk of cupidity, it is greed, or how do we call it? Selfishness. Some people in this life are excessively selfish. They have excess greed. As a result, They want everything for themselves. That's just the meaning of greed. That's just the short-term definition of greed. You want everything for yourself. You don't care what the others are going through. You don't care what becomes of the country you are leading. You don't care whatever, whether other civil servants have salaries or not. You don't care. You just have excess greed. That is why you are being placed in an office and a woman who has toiled all the whole week and has only 7,000. The person comes to make non-conviction in your office, that is 4,000, and you decide to collect 7,000 from that woman. The woman who has toiled the whole week and has worked only 7,000 will give you all that her money simply because she really needed that document, and it's only you that can give her the document. You will now make the document for her. She has to go home. She does not know where to start from. And the whole of the following week, she will toy. Maybe she will have 5,000. So you see, some people don't even care about all this. They have excess greed. And it's not good. Being a glutton is not good. They just want to accumulate all the wealth for themselves. Selfishness can be, or cupidity, or we call it greed, can be expressed in many ways. Let's just look at some of the ways. Can be manifested in bribery. Anybody that is accepting bribe, when we talk of bribe, is to accept accepting a favor, accepting a promise, or accepting a gift or money in exchange for an unfair advantage, or in exchange of for something that a person does not deserve. That's bribe. You don't deserve this, but you give money for it and the administrator gives it to you. That is bribe. And anybody who venture into bribery, simple, that person is greedy. 2, embezzlement. We have already spoken about embezzlement and misappropriation of public fund. Anybody who embezzles state funds, that person is greedy. Now we'll talk about nepotism. What is nepotism? It is an act of favoring your family members and friends in a business matter or in a professional matter. For example, they will just make you today director general of a particular institution, and tomorrow all the staff members in that institution are your family members. Or tomorrow all the staff members in that institution are your friends. When it comes to business, when it comes to profession, friendship, or a relation does not really count here again. You are not being made director for your family. You are being made director for the country, for you to work so hard that the country becomes better and better continuously. You are not being made director to promote your family members. So just take note of that. When they just today that you are the prime minister of Cameroon, all the cabinet members are from your village. Or today, some of you are here like this. You want to become a public administrator like this, and God is just looking at your heart and is loving. He will make you a prime minister today. All the ministers will be your brothers and sisters. Why not? All your friends, it is not. You are not there to encourage nepotism. So that is the point. Some people, anybody who ventures into nepotism is greedy. You want everything to return to your family. You want everything to return to your friends. What about the others? That's the question. Now, another cause of corruption is what? Economic crisis. Well, we'll talk about economic crisis. It can be expressed in several ways, namely, let's talk about scarcity and desperation. Some people are just, I think you get, because of scarcity. I hope some of you who did economics, you know the meaning of scarcity. At least, you at least know the meaning. Well, we'll talk about scarcity. It means limited resources. And as a result, some people are just desperate. Some people just venture into corruption because we don't really have it. So, in fact, I really need this. I really need this money. This 2 million, I need it. It's going to solve some of my issues. It's going to solve some of my family problems, some personal problems. I'm going to maintain a standard of living. It's going to help me to upgrade my standard of living and so on. As a result, you find the person venturing into corruption. Economic crisis can be manifested in a lack of effective governance. Economic crisis can be weakened. Governance and institutional structures, and this make it easier for corruption to be practiced. And it also makes it difficult for corruption that have been practiced, for a practice of corruption to be checked. It makes it difficult when there is a not effective governance. Now we'll talk on increased temptation. Some people are being corrupt, not really because they wanted to be corrupt. We call it temptation. Economic crisis, for example, can create opportunities for corruption. You did not want to be corrupt, for example. You never wanted to be corrupt. But economic crisis have now come. When we talk about economic crisis, it entails a lot. Economic crisis comes with lack. It comes with needs. And as a result, you are just being tempted. Like, temptation has to do with seeing what you want. Like this.
and you are feeling like, which is not correct, but you are feeling like to do it. As a result, you may just find yourself venturing into corruption just like that. Now we're going to propose some solutions to the problem of corruption. So after discussing, after saying all this about corruption, what then do we propose as solution? Number one, we're going to be saying that measures should be taken to add the salary of civil servants. The government needs to take measures to increase the salary of civil servants. I remember we said some personnel just simply venture into corruption simply because their salary is low. But if these salaries are increased, I bet you, if salary of civil servants are increased, corruption will not actually stop automatically, but it's going to be a great move. Corruption will really reduce to a greater extent. Moral and ethical training should be emphasized, even for workers, for professionals. Moral training should take place. Moral and ethical training should take place, should be emphasized on. Measures should also be taken to fight poverty and unemployment. This can be done in order to fight poverty and unemployment. It can be done through massive recruitment, massive sensitization of youths. How? The youth are being recruited, given jobs, or they are being sensitized on income generating activities. The youth should know that I can do this thing, I can do this thing, and at the end of the day, I generate income from there. another recommendation of a solution to this problem of corruption is that appropriate sanctions should be inflicted toward those who are practicing corruption. Also, the government should do what? Government, like I was saying, the government should fight against illegal enrichment. People who are using illegal means to enrich their pocket, to fill their pocket illegally by corruption, by misappropriation, by embezzlement, by bribery, by this, by that. The government should really take a fight against illegal enrichment. So now let's look at this fighting instrument. What are the instruments for fighting against corruption? We'll talk about it in two phases. So we'll start with part one, which is national instrument. What are the national instruments for fighting against corruption? We have the first national instrument for the fight against corruption. The major national instrument is what? The penal code. The Cameroon Penal Code condemns the following acts of corruption: bribery, indulgence, undue demand, compulsion of public servants, procuring influence, corruption of employees, misappropriation of public funds. These are acts of corruption that are being condemned by the penal code. So the penal code condemns this act of corruption and lays punishment on them. We're still on the instrument. As a matter of fact, we're still on the national instrument. So now we're going to discuss other national instruments apart from the penal code. The first on the list, we are going to be talking about the National Anti-Corruption Commission, which was created by Decree Number 2006 by 8th of 11 March 2006 to fight corruption. It is a national body that oversees anti-corruption efforts in the Cameroon public service. What do they do? CONAC is a body that collects information, investigates, studies cases, and publish texts on corruption and propose solution to competent authorities. So this commission has been working so hard to see that corruption is set aside as far as Cameroon is concerned. And we can really see their great work. For example, many years ago, about four or five years ago, Cameroon was enlisted among the first 10 most corrupt countries in the whole world. Just imagine. You can imagine. But today we are around the 40th position. So you see that living from there, from around the first right up to the 40th position, is a great move. So we can really say that the fight against corruption in Cameroon is a reality. Now look at the section 66 of the 1972 Constitution of the Republic of Cameroon as amended in 1996. This requires the filing of statement of assets and liability for all public officials. And law number 2006/03 of 25th April 2006 was also enacted, and it concerns the set declaration of assets of public officials. It will go a long way, of course, to fight against corruption and illegal enrichment. Declaration of assets. We have the law number 2003/004 on bank confidentiality. It was passed. This law was passed, and it brought significant improvements, such as prohibition on the invoking confidentiality on information concerning an account when this account is requested by public authorities for the purpose of investigating the account. So there is also another commission known as the National Agency for the Investigation of Financial Matters. This body is charged with investigating into suspected account which there is so much money. So in an account that has so much money, the National Agency for the Investigation of Financial Matters, they are interested. When your account is vested with a lot of money, they will check in. They will check in and know the source of that money, where it is coming from. It is a way of fighting what illegal enrichment, to make sure that your money came from a good source, that you really worked for it. It should not be money that has been stolen. It should not be money, and as a matter of fact, that huge amount of money. So they investigate into any account that has a lot of money, and they just investigate. They carry out investigation. It's very severe. To these national instruments can be added the Cameroon Criminal Procedure Code. It was promulgated by Law number 2005/007 of 27 July 2005. It also talks on corruption. So that is it about the national instruments fighting against corruption. So now we are going to look at the international instruments. Under international instrument, we shall discuss the United Nations Convention Against Corruption. The United Nations Convention Against Corruption is the first legally binding international anti-corruption commission, and an instrument that fights corruption worldwide. This convention has been ratified by Cameroon. As well, it was ratified by Cameroon on the 25th of April 2004. Next, we'll talk on the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crimes. Then we have the United Nations Convention Against Transnational Organized Crimes. This convention has been ratified by Cameroon also. This is the commission that inspired Cameroon to set up CONAC, the National Anti-Corruption Commission, in 2006. Then we have the African Union Convention on the Fight Against Corruption. So now we are going to look at recommendations or the way forward. Remember, we have already given solutions. So here now, we are just going to continue briefly from there. Institutional reforms. The government should strengthen institutions like CONAC. For example, CONAC, you know, CONAC is there just to investigate and prosecute. CONAC does not have the power to punish. If CONAC is given power, is empowered to punish some kind of crimes, for example, If CONAC is empowered to punish those who venture into corruption, I think it will really be important. Because CONAC here simply investigates, simply recommend. When they find you as a corrupt institution, they simply investigate and find out if it is really true. And then they come in, they only propose their solution. They give recommendation to competent authorities that this can be done, this can be done. They don't have the power to punish. We also recommend the independence of the judiciary. If the independent of the judiciary is going to, let's say, the court, that is, the court should be what? Independent from the executive and the legislative. It's going to prevent political interference in corruption matters. We also recommend transparency. Transparency in public administration. Then when it comes to policy and legislative reforms, the parliament should enact and enforce anti-corruption laws, strengthen existing laws and enact new ones. Enact new laws to criminalize corruption, including laws on asset declaration and other forms of corruption. The government should allow access to information, free access to information. The government needs to enact laws to ensure that access to information and transparency is being enhanced. That is, if there is transparency in public administration, meaning that the citizens have access to adequate information. What is happening in the government? What has the government done so far? What is lacking behind is going to be very important. We are still on recommendations. Now we'll look at civic engagement and education. Civic education, for example, the lesson on anti-corruption should be taught in civic education. For example, civic education is already a topic in primary and secondary schools, and even courses in some universities already in Cameroon. So as a result, this lesson needs to be taught there, so that as the young Cameroonians or young leaders of the future Cameroon are coming up, they are growing up with a notion that corruption is very bad. Civil society engagement is another recommendation. Whistleblowers protection. Whistleblowers need to be protected. That is, those who denounce corruption, they need protection. Then we'll talk about economic and social reforms. We'll talk on economic diversification to reduce dependence on some economic economic resources, like some let's say oil, fuel, and so on. These kind of things can foil corruption, economic dependency. The government should create jobs and reduce poverty, and public services of the state should be improved. Public services of the state include services like healthcare, education, and so on, transport facilities, and so on. Well, still on recommendations. International cooperation. So the government needs to partner with international cooperation. We call it international partnerships. If the government collaborate with international organizations such as, let's say, the United Nations Office of Drug and Crime to receive technical assistance and support as far as maybe corruption is concerned and other aspects. Asset recovery. If the government work with international partners to recover stolen assets and return them to Cameroon. Then cross-border cooperation. The government should strengthen cooperation with neighboring countries, and this is to combat or to fight against cross-border corruption. Now I'm going to leave you with a past question on the topic of on this topic, corruption, and it's going to be as your assignment. The first question is this: criminal sanction against embezzlement of state funds. This is an ENAM question 2013. The entrance into the National School of Local Administration, NASLA, is not money. Only the best is retained. Come in. This is a NASLA question of 2022. So these two questions, you work on them and you submit your solutions, your answers. All right. Here we are going to end our class for today. Thank you for watching and see you in the next class. Oh,